Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
I'm with you all night long.
All night long. Again, Lucha Underground Season 3, its mid-season premiere, finally came out. We watched it, and now we're going to talk about it and break it down for you, believers. So, Jeff, real quick, overall thoughts on the episode?
First and foremost, just happy to have it back, of course. It was great watching an episode night of and it being new. Second, there's something about the all-night-long match as far as, even though it takes up the entire episode, I don't feel like disappointed or gypped in any way. Like, it was fun. It's just entertaining. And they do a good job of breaking it up in a certain way where it doesn't get monotonous or boring. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat for basically all of it, especially the end.
So you were on the edge of your seat
all night long.
Exactly. No, I agree with you. However, I was worried going into this episode. We discussed it a week or two ago when we aired the last episode about I was worried that, it's mid-season premiere, but we're only really getting one match, and we're not getting sort of like the total package that is Lucha Underground and its comeback, so we have to wait a whole nother week.
Lex Luger was never in Lucha Underground.
Very good knowledge. Although he is mentioned in this week's episode of Lucha Underground, so that's eerie that you would say that. But, I mean, they did a really good job of giving you so much of what Lucha Underground had to offer in this one match that went all night long. So I was very pleased with how that came about. Now, don't get me wrong, I was excited for this match, but I was just saying, man, it's kind of an odd choice as far as a mid-season premiere after such a long layoff that we're just doing one match and one match only in the first episode coming back. But they delivered, in my opinion. This was so much fun, and like you said, just so happy to have it back. It just was such a special feeling. I wish you could have seen me at the radio station when I was watching it live. It was like Christmas morning. I was so stoked to have it back and to be tweeting.
Why were you wearing your pajamas at the radio station?
Because it was Lucha Day. I was wearing my Lucha and Chill t-shirt, and I was in my Lucha and Chill jammy jams, and I was ready. I was ready for Santa Mundo to come down the chimney. I guess there'd be.
I think Mac would.
Santa Gon Jr. If you're on the naughty list, he breaks your arm.
Yeah, it's like the switch.
Oh,
he's the Krampus.
Yeah, that's very good. Mac would be a very Santa-like character. You're right. But anyway, I mean, so this is our Lucha Christmas. It's back all night long again. So overall, we both really enjoyed it. Then right off the bat, one of the things that I wanted to point out, well, first of all, I did give a good laugh when Matt Stryker said 2 weeks ago what the stipulation for this match was set or whatever it was. It was like, yeah, it's been a lot longer than 2 weeks now. But
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And like for like 2 years it's felt like. But I'm so glad it's back. I thought one of the things, and probably this is why I love Lucha sort of aspect of the week, is Matt Stryker on commentary. I feel like this was one of his strongest episodes of all time, and he's consistently a highlight of the shows, and he's doing such a great job. But he was on fire in this episode.
On point, man. Yes. He started off real fast with the Lionel Richie quotes, and then just boom, the entire thing was just entertaining. I can't imagine this show without he and Vampiro being the voices.
Yeah. Which is funny because of the first Ultima Lucha, we had that guy filling in for Vamp since he was in a match.
That's right.
And I had forgotten about that until we rewatched it.
But it actually wasn't so bad, but I just like the dichotomy of those two together.
Yeah, their dynamic is great. But yeah, Stryker immediately, though, when he starts breaking down the moves of Mundo and the Mac and everything like that, how they compare, how Mundo has a lot more long range and stuff like that. I just thought that was such just good, just really great commentary, selling the match, selling the business and everything like that as for what it should be, like adding that legitimacy to it. So I really appreciated that. And then building off of that early on in the match, Matt Stryker made that Lex Luger reference talking about Mundo's breathing, and Vampiro was breaking down what that breathing actually was, that it was like a jiu-jitsu technique for, basically pacing yourself and everything, muscle control. And I thought that was really awesome. Yeah, that was That was some good stuff. Getting more into the match. I mean, we knew, like, coming into this, I think both of us, we figured Mundo would win, and we're just going to see how what kind of dick tactics he was going to do. And he, man,
totally.
He brought the dick tactics tonight, or in this episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he dictated the pace of the match, at least for most of it.
Yes, he did.
I just wanted to say dick again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. the first fall we got, I mean, again, it was a really cool spot where Mundo essentially was using the ring post to his advantage, just ducking away from Max strikes, only to trip him up to hit him with the end of the world. So that put Mundo up 1-0. I like, you know, obviously it was a good way of showing that, you know, Mundo was going to use every trick in the book to go up on the Mac. And then again, Mundo used the dick tactics with the cradle and then holding onto the ropes, going up 2-0, and the crowd just chanting bullshit at him was great. But Mundo up 2-0 in the early going. Mac wouldn't get on the board until a little bit later on. Made it 2-1. And then there's a couple commercials and sort of spots that I want to point out from Lucha being back here. And that is, we got Mundo Workout Wisdom. Did you catch that while you were watching, or did you not get the commercials?
Wait, what, doing like the one-arm push-ups on the rope? That doesn't help me because I can't do that.
Yeah, I know, but it's still Mundo's
Workout
Wisdom.
I don't have access
wisdom.
To a wrestling ring, and I don't think I could do one-arm push-ups in college.
Well, yeah, I don't think I could either. I don't think I'll ever be able to do a one-arm
push-up. I can do plyo push-ups. I can do normal ones. I can do wide arm. I can do diamond. That's about as far as I go, but yikes. No, the man is – well, I guess I can't say he's a machine. Someone else is, but he's an Adonis.
What were some of your favorite moments before we get, obviously, into the finish and how everything closed out? But in the early going, essentially when it was like, you know, 2-1 before, you know, what did you really like as far as how this match sort of got going?
Well, one thing I just want to say about the overall match is that it did surprise me as far as some of the underhanded tactics that Mundo used, because it didn't go the way I thought it would. I was thinking basically of what his feud with Sexy Star was and what that looked like. I assumed it was going to be a repeat of that. And so I was expecting Worldwide Underground in whole to come out pretty early on, and then just kind of be a presence around the ring, you know, like a bunch of like vipers around the pit. And then whenever the ref wasn't looking, or I guess, I mean, they can kind of do whatever they want as far as pick him apart. But I thought they would at least make it seem like it's an even match. And then just when Mundo's taking a break or like backing off from Mac, that's when Jack or like the Darewolf or something was going to take a cheap shot. It didn't go exactly like that. And those things didn't happen until a little later.
Yeah.
And still not exactly how I thought it would.
And I think the way they paced that, too, is actually to this match's benefit.
Well, yeah, because we're there to see Mundo fight him. And
yeah.
That was always kind of a problem I've had with Mundo's reign, is he's one of the greater talents, I feel, in the company. And the company is full of nothing but talented performers. Mundo is a force to be reckoned with. And as far as like some of his underhanded tactics, that's part of it too. He's a very cerebral fighter as far as his character goes. You know, he knows exactly how to take advantage of the match. And I think that's probably one of my favorite things is when he has the injury.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying that he can't continue, and they have the guys coming in to check on him. I forget exactly. I know it was supposed to be, what, a leg injury or something like that. I forget exactly what they...
His ankle.
Oh, it was his ankle. Yeah. So, like, you know... That's like typical Johnny Mundo to me. So yeah, they think it's the ankle. The ankle's being checked on, even, you know, Striker's quote unquote buying into it. And then it was like the perfect way to reverse it. Not only is his ankle fine, but you know, he fucking kickflips back onto
yes.
his feet to go and attack the Mac. Not only is it fine, it's in perfect shape. And then he goes and attacks the Mac. And I believe gets a cheap pinfall right there.
Yes, he does.
It's not even that he just attacked him.
So
he actually gets one up on him again.
Yeah, so he did that corkscrew to the outside, which, by the way, was probably the most impressive move overall of the whole match. I mean, it was just so
which
majestic.
Which is also saying something, because
yeah.
both of them were great. They were both on fire in this match.
Yeah, it was an incredibly majestic maneuver. But immediately, again, and this is just to the presence and this the great performer that Mundo is, immediately, as soon as he hit the move, he immediately clutched his ankle to try and sell the injury as much as you possibly could. And, you know, again, yeah, like you said, you got Stryker buying into it that, well, this match apparently is not going to go all night long. You can't continue. They bring out, like, the little gurney. And, you know, like, Mundo just really hamming it up that he's actually hurt. And so Mac being the sportsman not doing it. And then, yes, Mundo taking advantage to go up 3-1.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And he's not only like he kickflipped up, he's dancing like a jig on his on his totally fine ankles. Like it is just in the crowd just destroying him and Vampiro destroying him. Like I thought it was a great moment because Vampiro was like, "This is bullshit." Like he kept saying that repeatedly, and like he's like, "This guy has no respect for the sport." And like so, like Vampiro going on like a profanity-laced tirade, and then Stryker just, I don't know, with a sense of irony or not, he goes, "Well, pardon my language, but the Mundo's a dick." so I thought that was great. And it was when he went up 3-1 that. I don't know. I just felt like this match told such a great story. It's the one thing I keep coming back to. I mean, I watched it, I loved it, and I woke up thinking about it the next day. I was like, man, that was just the more I thought about it, the more it just told like a really great wrestling story, and that is something that I think sometimes is lost in other places. That they had a story in mind to tell here, and we'll get to the finish and everything like that, which I actually love. And so I just really appreciate that. So once 3-1, the story kind of shifts to sort of the more like macro level, no pun intended, with who Mundo is fighting, but sort of like with the Worldwide Underground and just everything that Johnny Mundo has done up to this point, both to help him and to harm him in this match. So Mundo went up 3-1. Mac is furious with him because he faked the injury, and I did really like on commentary, Stryker kept pointing out that Mac was letting his anger get the best of him, you know, by putting himself in sort of vulnerable positions. Like, he chased Mundo, he threw the gurney at Mundo, missing him. That gave Mundo a weapon to use on the Mac. And yeah. I liked how Mundo was sort of, like, fending Mac off with it, like Mac was like a lion or something like that. It was great. But... Mundo goes up to the top of the stairs in the temple, and Mac takes advantage of the situation. And this is probably my favorite spot of the match. It's what I call Cool Runnings Boyle Heights. Strapping Mundo into the gurney and throwing him down the stairs. What did you think of that spot?
Dude, you know what? I mean, it went off flawlessly, but at the same time, it really wouldn't have taken too much for that to end up bad or at least look bad. You know what I mean? As far as like if it veered off course or something like that.
Or if you just didn't slide down the whole way
I mean, there's a lot of things that could have went wrong with the stunt, but it went perfectly. And yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. Another part that I like, we haven't gotten there yet, but I'll mention it when we do.
Okay.
Has to do with the band.
Yes. Yeah. Oh dude. Yeah. That was an awesome moment as well. But yeah, so with Mundo still strapped to the gurney, I mean, I also liked when Mac got to the bottom of the stairs, and he just flipped him over again, face first on it. And then, Mac gets a pinfall on Mundo again, makes it 3-2. So he's still got a long way to go. Mundo, sensing the tide is turning, though.
that's the problem with Mundo. I mean, and that's good because Mundo is a heel character, and I think we can both admit that he is reaching just a new level as far as his heel status goes. He just really gets what it is to be a heel. But yeah, he would still have the advantage in the match, but then at this point would go to every sort of underhanded tactic he could because, you know, at the end of the day, a heel is just going to take shortcuts and
is
scared of losing.
I said as I was interacting with the Believers, I said Mundo had, like, despite the long layoff while we were waiting, Mundo showing no ring rust on his douchebaggery in this match. Like, there's like nothing there that was lacking. So yeah, he like, I love the visual of this because Mundo starts running around, crawls underneath the ring, and so it would appear, you know, runs into the back. And I liked the visual of it, of Mac chasing after him just into the darkness, you know. But it was sort of, you know, like they have twin magic with the Bella Twins. This is like Worldwide Underground magic because the Darewolf PJ Black ended up appearing instead of Mundo. And, that was what was going down with, they get the kendo sticks or the Singapore canes, whatever you want to call them.
Yes, exactly. The best was the Singapore cane high five between the two.
Yes.
That's so Worldwide Underground. I want to be a member of Worldwide Underground so badly it hurts.
You would fit in perfect. We'll get to that later, too. So we have our first Worldwide Underground member appearing, other than Mundo, obviously, to help out the Jontourage. So they're hitting Mac with kendo sticks, but this was a great return here. And, again, this is one match, but we're getting multiple members of the Lucha Underground roster involved. Son of Havoc appearing like a badass atop the temple stairs with two kendo sticks. How he like leapt out of the way of PJ swinging at him, and then
that was sick.
PJ hit Mundo. Yeah, that was awesome. It was really good Singapore Kane play there. It was like an action scene from a movie, and Son of Havoc was lighting them up with the Singapore Canes. But
he owed them a few shots from wrongs that had been done against him not that long ago. So it made sense. You forget how many enemies the Worldwide Underground actually has.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think I love so much about this match. Again, it goes back to telling that story, is that this isn't just about Mac and Mundo necessarily. It's about like some of the good people of the temple versus this like really arrogant cabal that they're dealing with. And like they have this long history. So, you know, I love when wrestling has a long memory. And this match had a long memory, and it really tied some nice things together. It's similar to like how they do Aztec Warfare so well, is it how it brings all these feuds together and everything like that. I felt a very similar vibe here. And so Son of Havoc getting involved was great because it led to another awesome moment, because Mac was down. He was incapacitated, not responsive. And he starts banging on El Jefe Dario Cueto's office. He needs beer. He needs beer. And, you know, I am yelling at my TV because Dario just sort of sheepishly offers a water bottle, and I start yelling at the radio station, "Give him beer." And then all of a sudden the chant, "Give him beer, give him beer," happens.
You could have been there in the temple, man.
I know. It was great though, because it was also a great sponsorship placement with the Modelo, which I don't know if you saw that commercial with Melissa Santos, that Modelo is the official beer of Lucha Underground, so now that's what we drink. So.
Oh, I did not know that. I'll be sure to get a case of Modelo later tonight.
Yes, that's what we do now.
Crack open some cold ones with the boys.
Yeah. is there anything better than that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. But that was just great. What did you think of the beer revival and just like Stryker on commentary talking about like essentially comparing him to Popeye getting his spinach?
Yeah, he needs his spinach. I love the beer revival for the Mac. I also just like anytime Dario does come out of his office during a match, because I always forget that that's his office just right there, right by the ring. And so it's always great to see his like, you know, participation even in a small part like that. Also, just the look on his face when he first opened the door, he seemed confused.
I do like the
what are you doing? I'm working.
They referenced Dario Cueto's office because they had that second referee watching the action, and they were talking about how, like, when Mundo got that second fall with the dirty pin, Vampiro was like, "Well, you got a second referee out there. I sure he saw. Why didn't he say anything?" Stryker's like, "Well, he's sitting right outside of El Jefe's office, so maybe he didn't want to, you know, didn't want to bring down the wrath upon him." And Vampiro's like, "Well, good point." But yeah, anytime Dario gets involved in this, it's great, just because it's like, yeah, he's just in there watching the action, one assumes, and you know, enjoying himself. But yeah, so we get the Mac.
Well, we know that Dario does some extracurricular activities in the office too, so who knows what he's doing in there.
That's very true. That is very true. But yeah, so Mac revived, but only for a moment, as the Darewolf gets back involved. They've subdued Son of Havoc and the Mac, and this brings us to another standout moment of the match, is Mundo takes the mic. And first of all, I liked how he referred to Mac again as a fat piece of trash, which was great. He also, I think, called him a lumpy piece of trash earlier in the match.
Body shaming, though.
There's no such thing. You know, you got to own it.
That's an example.
But no, it's not. There's no such thing. But Metalachi, which was the house band, which they featured prominently.
Which
in the
is a
episode.
Sick name.
Yeah, it is. And it's a good band, too. He was asking, so he's telling Mac that he, you know, time's running out, and I think like Darewolf had like the kendo stick like on Mac's throat, I think, at that point, or maybe it was Mundo, I don't remember. But he's like, so you know what that means? Do you guys know any victory songs? And Jeff, go ahead. You described it very, very well. Just what does Mundo do here, and just everything that followed.
His Mundo, in typical heel fashion, just it was a borderline racist yell. His
yeah, just sort of like caricaturing it.
He's a caricature. And we've seen him kind of do things like that in the past. Even at the live show, I think he did something similar. And it, I love it because that's exactly the kind of heel Mundo would be in this environment. You know, this white guy, and we're talking about how he doesn't necessarily take the sport as seriously as others. And so he kind of, you know, sort of disrespects the culture to a certain degree. But at the same time, it's almost not completely outright. You know what I mean? It's not like Mundo is a racist or anything. He's a real disrespectful jerk.
Yeah,
he's
a jerk. I thought it was perfectly said. It wasn't anything more than just disrespectful. I thought it was legitimately funny and really, really just perfect for his character.
It fit him to a T.
Yeah, calling for the victory music. And then this is something that completely caught me unaware. Like, I came unglued for this spot, which was the Maraca player dropped one of her maracas, and then she leaps from the stage area with the band onto Darewolf and Mundo.
My favorite part.
Yes, and it's Sexy Star. Just take me through what you were feeling.
At that point, I was just kind of blown away. I love that kind of a stunt in any wrestling program. I just love the idea of a disguised character or somebody who is basically hiding out in the open. Anytime somebody else comes out of the audience, I always get a kick out of it too. This was just, it's so perfect. And one thing I also like is anytime anything has to do like with the band, it reminds me of that other time where, wasn't it with Mundo where he wanted them to play victory music? Was it him against Puma?
I think all night long. Yeah, he messed with the band in that one too. Yeah.
Yeah, he messed with the band in that one too. I like the idea that the band sometimes actually is incorporated into the show. It isn't a separate thing as far as just coming back from a commercial. So all of that was just perfect to me. I just love the entire environment. And then of course, Sexy Star, more than Son of Havoc, of course, is who I expected to at least interfere on behalf of the Mac, because not only are they friends, she also despises the Worldwide Underground.
Yeah, she lost her title to Johnny Mundo. So, yeah,
it wasn't a good fight before that either. I mean, she had been enemies with them for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, she's feuded with them for a very, very long time. I was sort of lulled to sleep on her, you know, needing to be a part of this match and everything like that.
Well, I didn't expect her to make a showing like that. That was quite a surprise. It was perfect. That was the exact way she should enter, and it was devastating as far as what she did.
Yeah,
to her opponent.
she hit him perfectly, like with that move, and it
turned the tide.
Yeah,
to a certain degree.
So it was, from a certain point of view, it was
certain point of view.
It was great to see that, and I texted this to you, and I think this is one of the really things that sets Lucha Underground apart. I said Lucha is the one place where I can still be really surprised. And that's the stuff of magic. And that's really, I mean that, and I think that's really what makes wrestling so much fun, is when you legitimately get surprised and you have your, you know, sort of mark out moment, if you want to call it that, or you pop or what have you. It's awesome, and it makes you feel like a kid again. And that's what Lucha Underground does. It's so much fun. And so the Sexy Star moment for that, for me, was really a big part of that. And then I just have written down Mac murders Mundo to tie it up 3-3. I mean, just absolutely crushed him.
This was as a Slamtown fan. This is when I was getting nervous, because I was like, "Uh-oh, you know, Mac's heating up at just the right time."
Yeah, seriously. And
the momentum was in his direction exactly when it needs to be for this match.
Yeah, it was crazy, and so officially, like my Golden State Warriors, Johnny Mundo had blown a 3-1 lead. So I was, you know, don't feel too bad.
You're like, not this again.
I've seen this movie before. I didn't like it. But this is, so it's 3-3 time. And we've been talking about it since we were at the Lucha Underground En Vivo event in Escondido, that we were waiting for Ricky Mandel to become officially part of Worldwide Underground, because he was a part of the match that we saw happen live, and he was sort of like just like a skinnier Mundo clone.
Basically, yeah, he was, like we said, if it was like Worldwide Underground 3 and it was the movie that went to DVD, he would be basically playing the Mundo character.
Yes.
They couldn't get Johnny Mundo anymore.
Absolutely. So he finally made his first appearance helping Johnny Mundo, came out of nowhere, and I couldn't help but notice Matt Stryker said that he's the biggest Johnny Mundo fan in the world. And I just thought to myself, bigger fan than you, Jeff?
It struck a chord with me too. I mean, you know what it is? That just shows how small Stryker's worldview is, that he doesn't realize that there are bigger Mundo fans out there. I don't know if Ricky's number two. I don't know if Ricky's number six. You know, I mean, there's other Mundo fans out there, but I'm number one. I'm deputy mayor of Slamtown. I've loved Mundo forever. back in his WWE unappreciated days. I was a Morrison fan.
Absolutely. We love Mundo here on this podcast. Yeah. But so it's the
friend of the podcast, Johnny Mundo.
That's right. That's right. So Mandel got involved. It didn't lead to a fall, however. So we're still tied 3-3. And this is where we get down to how the match ended. And again, just the incredible narrative that they're sort of showing here is like a lot of false finishes. Both guys are gassed and everything like that. Basically every move could lead to what I thought would be like the final pinfall to end this thing. And at this
point, we're at that time where there really is only going to be one more pinfall.
Exactly. And at that point, like, I thought no chance coming into this match. I thought no chance Mac could win this. You know, they're not going to take
it. And then it was like, how can Mac not win this match?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but they made me buy it. Like, that's the thing is, like, going into this is like, okay, Mundo, he's always been, you know, one of the faces of Lucha Underground and everything like that. He just got the title. They're coming back from this midseason break. I don't think they're going to take it. No, this is no disrespect to the Mac, who's been a featured player on Lucha as well, but just not in the same way up to this point. So I was like, you know, no way. This is just a good first, like, opponent for Mundo to really solidify that he's the champion now.
I didn't even think Mac was going to win the Battle of the Bulls, let alone then go on to win the championship. Everything's turned around for me.
I think I did pick the Mac to win the Battle of the Bulls, by the way.
Yes, you did.
So, like, coming into this, though, again, did not think that Mac had a chance to win this. I just, like, from my wrestling logic told me, no, it's not his time yet. I was completely bought in, though, by the end of this match. And like we just said, we're some of the biggest Mundo fans around. But just from a narrative aspect, man, you couldn't help but just get emotionally invested in the Mac. And that goes a lot to what Stryker was saying on the mic and everything like that. Just how, like, he was chasing his destiny and how, you know, blue collar he was and everything like that. Just how hard he worked to get to this point. And, I mean, I loved all that stuff. And he finally capitalizes, hits the huge move off the ladder, but it took so much out of him. He gets the one, he gets the two, and time expires. And before we get to what followed immediately after that, what were you feeling in that moment?
I had been standing up in my living room for about the last few minutes of that match because I just could not believe what was going on. I was basically watching the three count and watching the clock at the same time. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell is going to happen? As much as I was rooting for Mundo, I felt for Mac, man. At that point, I was kind of upset. I was upset that he didn't get it because he beat him. You know, he got him.
Yeah.
It just, the fact that, you know, just the timer went off right before that third count, he was already on top of him. He was pinning him. It's frustrating. It was frustrating to watch.
Now, the crowd was chanting BS and stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
I did not feel cheated in the slightest by this.
And I don't know if they felt cheated. I think they were just saying BS from Max.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
But there would, if you heard that chant elsewhere with a finish like that, you might think that it was out of legitimate anger in terms of what they were given. Like, we got our money's worth from this match. And the whole,
there's a lot more to be angry about at some of the other wrestling companies.
Dude,
right
that
now,
that's so. What I'm saying is that, like, Lucha Underground consistently, when they give you a match at a way higher rate, a way higher percentage, you'll get a legit finish and everything like that. You know, you'll get an outcome. One guy wins, one guy loses, or one girl wins, you know, whatever, what have you.
Yeah, whatever. Now,
I will say that
one dragon wins.
One serpent.
Not even one species anymore.
Yeah. I will say that in Mundo's case, there have been more sort of BS finishes with him, but that's sort of just to play up the Worldwide Underground impact. But by and large, you get a finish in Lucha Underground, but there are certain times when a finish like this serves the story. And I thought this told a great story that Mac came up short, not because of talent, but literally time running out, which is almost more heartbreaking in a sense. Cause like you said, he had Mundo beat. And so it served the story's purpose here, with that going on, you know, so you got essentially to see the face essentially nearly reach that brass ring and just time cheated him, nothing else. So I thought that was actually good. I did not feel gypped at all by having a draw ending.
Well, and this is why I said Ricky's the big hero, because every second counted.
That's true.
And
that's a very
he was
good
able
point.
To hold off the Mac for as long as possible.
Yeah. And just, it was heartbreaking in the ring. You see Sexy Star with the Mac and everything like that. And then El Jefe, though, came out and I popped big time for that. He says there are no ties in his temple. And I thought we were going to get like some overrun and the match was going to continue right there. But he says next week.
I thought
week,
it was going to be a sudden death thing too, like next, you know, like fall counts.
Yeah, whatever, like yeah. The Iron Man at WrestleMania 12 with Shawn and Brett, which Shawn won. Boyhood dream came true, so maybe the Max boyhood dream would come true here. But, I mean, it was such just an emotional ride. El Jefe says, you know, there are no ties in his temple, and that they're going to go restart the match on next week's episode, and the next fall wins, even if it goes all night long, yet again, all night long. So that was the end to All Night Long again. Matt got the stunner on Mundo at the very end, grabbed the belt and everything like that. So very emotional first episode back for Lucha Underground. I mean, just tremendous piece of business, I thought. I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it would be hilarious if, because you know I was working that night, and then when I was finished with my work, then I tuned in. If I had just turned on the TV and it was the very end of the episode, I would have seen the Mac holding the belt triumphantly at the center of the ring.
You would have been mortified.
It's like, oh my God, the Mac won? And then I'd have to watch the match. I go, oh. Double swerve.
Yeah, that actually would have been almost better.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious.
You just text me immediately. So I can't believe the Mac won.
Experience. Yeah. You're like, no, Jeff.
I'm not watching this show anymore. So,
but I am looking forward to the beginning of next week. That's going to be great.
Absolutely. I want to remind everybody right now that you can help out with the podcast by rating and reviewing us on iTunes. If you like what you hear, please rate us and review us. It's the best way you can help us get those iTunes numbers up and everything like that. We certainly do appreciate it. Also, tell your friends. Word of mouth is really, you know, mostly the only advertising we do for this podcast. So we know the wrestling community is very tight-knit, so please get the word out about us. We love interacting with you, the believers. It was fun live tweeting the episode with y'all this past Wednesday. I'm so happy it's back. It's at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. Please give us a follow, and we'll talk some Lucha with you. LuchaLowdown@gmail.com if you want to email us a question or things that you'd like to see us talk about, or you can hit us up on our Facebook and do the same. So thank you so much, believers, for supporting this podcast. It's been a great response. We've had some really cool interviews that if you haven't had the chance to hear yet, for some reason you're listening to this one and haven't listened to our older episodes, we talked to Johnny Mundo and Marty the Moth Martinez recently as we were getting ready for Lucha Underground to return, and we're going to be setting up some more in the future as well. So take a listen to those. Share them on your social medias. Tell your friends. Thank you for listening. What do you got for a prediction for next week, Jeff? Are we defaulting back now? The Mac sort of journey went so far that it's going to go back into the setting where now Mundo just is going to win.
Well, now I feel like Mundo's going to have to pull out all the stops. I mean, we only had support from one member of the Worldwide
Jack
Underground.
Evans?
Well, actually, I guess one full member of the Worldwide
one
Underground
initiate.
And then one prospect, yeah, who now is definitely going to have to earn his stripes.
Yeah.
So I think Mundo's going to get a lot more heelish next week, let's put it that way. But Mundo will end up triumphant, whether he deserves it or not, you know, based on what he does is another story.
Yeah, I feel like
because the Mac beat him and he knows that.
Yeah, you know? So. That's what, God, what a great, again, just again, storytelling to me is the theme of this episode. But I do think that, yes, now Mundo, with a fresh start and everything like that, having escaped by the hair of his chin with a draw, will take it down. Now, so if Mundo wins next week, that officially makes him one and one in all night long matches. How do we score that?
To be honest, man, I don't even really count the next week as part of the all night long. I feel that he's 0-1-1.
So he'll be 0-1-1. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. I can't consider the runoff as part of it. I feel it's almost like a rematch.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I did like how Stryker was talking on commentary about how Sean and Razor revolutionized the ladder match. Mundo maybe will be innovating the all night long match. And I thought it was good. Like how Mundo works these all night long matches is always a delight. So there's something to that.
Totally agree. Yeah.
But can't wait to see what happens next week. So they say it could go all night long. It's not going to go.
No. all night long.
Yeah, it won't. And so we'll get some more. I think they're teasing.
No, we have to meet other characters. We have to. We're coming
yeah,
back.
Exactly.
For the second part of the season.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. The story has to progress. We appreciate this, but come on now.
I think we're going to get to see some Cobra Moon next week, too. If on their social media, I think they're promoting that Cobra Moon has a message for Aerostar and Phoenix and everything like that. So hopefully we'd see some more of that, because I do love what the Snake Tribe's doing right now. I'm interested in that storyline. But, man, it is good to have Lucha back, and it is so good to talk to you again about a new episode that we have not seen before. Good to be back.
Feels right.
Feels right. That is going to do it for this edition of Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.